Good morning. It's good to see people in church this morning. Good to see lots of young people as well. So that's great. I'm going to hand over for the intimations, and I think I've got a couple of things just after that, after Alison's spoken, but always put Alison first.
Good morning.
As Doug does.
Absolutely. Morning, everybody, and welcome to the service for visitors and any newcomers, particularly welcome, and children, which we have a lot of children in today, so that's really nice. On the intimations, it's there is the Advent and Christmas services, which with the Zoom codes for Christingle, they're all on your order of service. There's the reverse Advent calendar. Thank you if you've collected donations through November for the reverse Advent calendar. Donations can be taken straight to the food bank or to Limekilns Church, or you can bring donations here to Kearney Hill next Sunday, the 4th of December. If you're going to the food bank, please let us know the amount you've handed in, because that'll all be put together so we know exactly what's come from the church. Scout Post cards can be sent for 40p, and that's on to the your delivery between the first... Cards can be sent for just 50p to all places listed. Please take the cards and payment in a sealed envelope to the Scout Hall, the primary school or Fairleys between the 1st and 7th of December. And the last collection is 5pm on the 7th. Membership of the church, are you or do you know someone interested in joining the church? It's intended to start a meeting for those who are interested in exploring church membership. The times and dates and place will be arranged around those who wish to take part, but speak to the minister about this by phone or email. And also on the 11th of December, there's going to be nine lessons and carols taking place in here, and Queen Anne singers are going to be singing at that. And here's finally a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
So just a couple of things to say. The nine lessons and carols will be on the 11th, and maybe be aware that that is very likely to start a little bit late. Now, I know that's not unusual for Kearney Hill, because you're usually waiting for the minister to arrive hot foot, but it's Nancy's got to get here, and we don't want to rush her, so just be aware that we might start a little bit later. And the service might be a little bit longer, but it'll be good fun. Lots of carols, lots of singing, and all our favourite Christmas readings. Next Sunday, down in Limekilns, there is the quarterly afternoon communion, which is shorter, less formal, and we sit throughout, and there's refreshments after. So if there's anybody for whom that's a good service to be at, then, or you would like to come to that communion, then please accept that as an invitation. It's helpful for some folk who find the morning service maybe a wee bit long and such like. And also at 6:30 that evening, Elaine Souter is involved in setting up a service that was last, I think, 3 years ago before lockdown, called Absent Friends. And that's a time for us to quietly remember people that we've lost, whether recently or whenever, because we all have bereavements in our lives. And sometimes at Christmas, it's a moment when we want to remember. So Elaine and Marcia look after that service, and it's contemplative. And if it helps you, that's at 6:30. If you forget any of this, just ask me. And also, I should say that, and I will be saying later, a bit about our Advent study, which this year we're using material produced by Sanctuary First. That's Albert Bogle and his group, and it's called Finding Time This Christmas. It's available on the Sanctuary First website. If you can't find it, I've got it downloaded onto my computer and I can always send you it as an attachment if that is of any help to you. I think that's all I need to say at this moment. I'd like to light a candle, and I think I might pick on the youngest person in church. Would you like to come and light a candle? They'd rather have the milk. And I don't want to ask how many people here would choose drink first. All right, what will we do with this? You gonna hold it? I'm really not sure.
Well, clever boy.
Right, let's see if we can do this without burning down the church. Oh yes, you blow out candles, don't you? Right. Well, we just aim at one of the red ones. There we go.
Wow, that's right.
And would you like to blow it out? Look at that.
Well done.
Well done.
Thank you. High five.
High five, yes, absolutely. Now, I've got poem down and I'm hoping it's on the PowerPoint because I've singularly forgotten to bring the words with me. Woo, look at that. It's a very short poem and just brings some of the things that we might be thinking about through Advent. I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all the sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long. And we're going to start now with an Advent hymn. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. I've obviously not changed that because that's what we had last week. So, well, we better sing it because that's what will appear. I don't know how on earth did I manage that? But now somebody coming out did say it was their favourite hymn. No, it wasn't. Nothing to do with you. I just looked at it and thought, and it can't be anybody's fault bar mine, because I've got it on my sheet. I think, you ever thought about getting a new minister? Let's sing Jesus Shall Reign. Good.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, as we look forward to celebrating the gift of Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we offer our gifts to you. Receive and bless all that we offer of our time, talent, and money. Bless the gifts that we give. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a good hymn. I'm just going to alter the service as I go along. You know, people think I make this up as I go along, and this is why people say to ministers, well, you only work one day a week and 1 hour, well, two if you've got two churches, because they assume I turn up here without any preparation and then speak. Well, sometimes it is exactly the case. Because I wasn't sure, I've got a bit for the adults later, but I thought I'd better speak to the children, right? Because I've already wound them up, and they now know that they've not to behave as badly as I do, which is a good lesson. So, you're looking forward to Christmas? Really? You're as enthusiastic as that. What are you looking forward to? Everything. Well, good answer. Anything specific? What's your favourite bit in Christmas? Everything's fun, is it? Right? Parties, right? Yep.
Having a snowball fight.
Nana's Christmas dinner.
Nana's, there's somebody earning brownie points. Now, interesting little thing here. How many people here remember 2010? A fair number. This weekend, 2010, I think I didn't get to church here because that was the weekend the snow arrived. And it was about a foot or so deep, and we decided it was just too tricky for everybody. And I have a feeling that I managed to walk through to Limekilns, but getting here was going to be difficult. And then we had, I think, about a month, wasn't it? So there's a little bit to store in your head. 12 years ago, that is now. We're going to be looking at a subject called Taking Time at Christmas. So, is Christmas a long way away? No. Is it arriving at a rush? Yeah. Now, you see, that's worrying. Because when I was your age, if somebody had said, is it long time till Christmas, I would have gone, oh. Because when I was young, time seemed to go really slowly. But now it seems to be a rush for everybody. I mean, there are some people who just don't know what Christmas is going to be like. And it'll be exciting. And those of us who do, in some ways you can't wait for it to come, and yet there's all sorts of stuff that needs to be done. How many adults are already going, oh, I won't ask you to put your hands up too much, but yeah, it's like that, isn't it? Time is really strange stuff. If you're sitting listening to a sermon, time can stretch out. If you're enjoying something, time can go like that. And yet, we measure it quite accurately. But this Christmas, no matter how busy you are, remember, the big thing about it is remember why we're celebrating. And we will be looking forward to service next week, and then 9 lessons. And then, you young people, are going to be leading the service, and we're really looking forward to that. So I think that's all I'm going to say. And will we sing or will we have a prayer, Alistair? What do you think? It's up to me. Alistair's got that look on his face that says, I have no idea what to do with this man. Yeah. You'd think after all these years I'd be able to get these things right. Yeah, let's have a prayer. It's good to pray. So Alistair will lead us in prayer.
It's a good job you can laugh. Let's draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. It is good to sing praise to you, our God. It is pleasant and right to praise you. God, Creator and Father, glory to you for the world in which we live, and for every human being made in your own image. Glory to you, Lord Jesus, who took a human body and redeemed our fallen nature. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, who made our bodies the temple of your presence. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose will it is that we should be made whole in body, mind, and spirit. Glory be to you for all eternity. Father God, this is the day when the church begins to think about Christmas. The very word makes us feel excited. Father, you want us to be excited about Christmas, and you want us to enjoy it, but you also want us to understand it. Father, in these Sundays of Advent, teach us what Christmas means. The child born to Mary is Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, including a time for war and a time for peace. O Lord, our God, forgive us when we don't take time for you in the busyness of our daily lives, not just in the busyness of Christmas. Forgive us when peace eludes us. Forgive us for the angry words we didn't mean to say. Forgive us for all that spoils a happy day. Forgive us for the muddle we find ourselves in through our own words and actions. Forgive us for our selfishness and all our little sins, none of which are little to you. You know who we are, men and women with good consciences and with bad. Persons who are content and those who are discontent. The certain and the uncertain. You know every person, Christians by conviction and Christians by convention. Those who believe and those who half believe and those who disbelieve. But all nations stand before you in all our differences, yet alike in that we are all in the wrong with you and with one another, that we must all one day die, that we will be lost without your grace. But also alike in that your grace is promised and made available to us in your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us to find time for you this Christmas. Help us to find that peace which can only be found in a right relationship with you, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who gave us these words of prayer we now say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I chose the next hymn because we probably need to say these words as we run through Advent. Jesus gives us peace, gives us that inner rest. So I heard the voice of Jesus say. As I've already said, we're using material this year produced by Sanctuary First. And the title there is Finding Time This Christmas. How many people here, just seeing those words or hearing those words, instinctively go, fat chance? Not asking for hands put up. When working to some kind of deadline in terms of time, my mother-in-law used to ask a question. In the rush of her household, she'd say, "How's the enemy?" And of course, she meant time, and we all knew what she meant. How often do we feel in our lives there is so much to do and so little time? How many of us have got to the point where we say, no point in counting days, in fact, the weeks are passing so fast, they're going like a blur. It can appear that time is against us. And time, how is the enemy? On the other hand, time is such a precious thing. Someone was asking Karen about her birthday, and her response was, "I had a great birthday. I spent time with," and it was all about family and friends. When being asked about gifts, and that's a big question, and I am told that I am a very difficult person by my family. "We never know what to get you, Dad. You are hopeless. And there is a certain truth in that. I said the same about my own father, and I have turned into him, I think is maybe the way of putting it. And we are grateful for things that we are given, but we are grateful because of the giving. Not often, or not always, because of the thing. Because I hear more and more people saying, we really don't need things. Even my children in their 30s are saying, we don't need things. But the most precious of gifts that we either give or receive is time. When we think of time, depending on your stage in life, time with grandchildren, so precious because they grow up so fast. Time with children, so precious because for many of us here, our children are busy people. Time with family is precious. It's almost unique trying to get us together. Time with friends is precious. We don't do this often enough, do we? Life can be so busy that we fail to use our time on that which is important. And in the run-up to Christmas, we can be so busy with things that need to be done, we forget what is important. Some years ago, there was a slogan that said, "Keep Christ in Christmas." And this was meant as a challenge directed at the growing secularism of the celebration of Christmas in our society. But in all honesty, it is a real challenge to the busy Christian. I can be so busy that all the things take over. And the reason for celebrating comes second. This year, there are all sorts of added challenges that come with the rising cost of living, energy prices, the state of our nation, the state of our world. There's all sorts of stuff crowding in. Through Advent this year, we're going to be thinking about peace, stillness, and love. We will be remembering that time spent with Jesus and with one another is more valuable than any of the physical things we get so involved in. When I looked at the study, and I did look at the title and raise my eyebrows, but when I looked at what it was saying, it's all the things that I need. Peace, stillness, love. So, finding time this Christmas, and today it's finding time for peace this Christmas. Our readings come from the prophet Isaiah and from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and Irene is going to read for us.
The first reading this morning is Isaiah 2, chapters 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we can walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The second reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 15, and it's entitled Treasures in the Jars of Clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, or we do not distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gossip is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The Lord of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that it is all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are the hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us to you himself. This is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Blessed are these readings from his holy word. Amen.
Hymn number 527, Lord, make us servants of your peace. This morning from Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 9, a passage there has the title, "To us a child is born, a passage that is also very often used during Advent. It's one of those moments where the child that is Jesus is foretold. And in that passage, we have a title for Jesus amongst many others. And one of those titles is Prince of Peace. When the subject of peace is raised, many of us will immediately think of the many conflicts and wars that affect our world. This year, conflict in Ukraine has been very much in the news, in our thoughts and in our prayers. But we are aware that this is not the only conflict. There are many wars, many conflicts that go almost unreported. A brief search on the subject revealed that at present, at this moment, something like 6 major wars are taking place, 16 lesser wars, 20 minor conflicts, and numerous examples of periodic violence between peoples and nations that are not classified as either war or conflict. These classifications are based upon the number of casualties. It does say that the numbers are difficult because of the confusion of conflict and war. But for this year, for 2022, the best guess estimates range from 150,000 to over 300,000 casualties in 11 months. And that doesn't take into account damage to body, mind, and spirit for so many more than have actually died in war. It makes sobering reading and a reminder of how much we need to be praying for peace on earth. Our reading from Isaiah chapter 2 tells of our need to turn to God, to know God as the judge of nations and peoples as much as he is of individuals. And here in that passage, the hope that one day nation will not take up sword against nation and no one will train for war. The picture that is presented is of swords being made into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. That was a hope for those many years ago when Isaiah was a prophet. It's still as valid today. So for our time, how would we envisage this? Perhaps the vast sums spent on arms being used to provide food, water, education, and health. Or perhaps we could think about the defence budgets of nations across the world becoming aid budgets. Of course, what Isaiah presents is the contrast between the world as it is and the world as it should be. As we look toward Christmas, as we prepare for Christmas through Advent, we are meant to be looking forward, yes, to celebrating Jesus' birth, but Advent is also a season to look forward to Jesus' return in glory. That moment when there will be no more war, where everything will be made right. Advent has that dual theme of celebrating Jesus' birth and his return. We are those who declare that Jesus is Lord. We are followers of the Prince of Peace. Jesus said that peacemakers are blessed and they will be called children of God. As children of the living God, we are to be peacemakers. Jesus calls upon us to be the light of the world. And in this season of Advent, We often talk about light and the need for light in the darkness. And Jesus trusts us. In the passage that we read from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, it begins quite strangely. It says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry." Well, what ministry is he talking about? And in this, of course, we have to remember that that might be verse 1 of chapter 4, but this was written as a letter. It wasn't written with chapters and verses. So just before the passage we read, it says, "We, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We reflect the glory of God that is seen in Jesus. That's what we take out. And we should remember that these words were not written to powerful people in control. Paul was writing to Corinth, to new Christians, people who had just come to faith, living in a city that was famed for its lack of morality. It was no easy place to be a Christian. To live the Christian faith was to go against that society in that time. To proclaim the Christian faith was to contradict the beliefs of the majority who lived around them. In our society, in our world, it may seem that we are going against the spirit of the times, and what we say about faith has seldom been less acceptable. We are going against the grain. And in the midst of that, trying to hold our faith in a secular society with all the materialism and all the stuff that we deal with, we may feel, as Paul describes, hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. What Paul reminds the Corinthian church and us in our time, that by the grace of God, we might be hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not abandoned, and we are not destroyed. Paul says what he does, because there must have been times when those folk felt absolutely weighed down. Yes, there's a 2,000-year gap between them and us, but so many parallels for us in our age. Those folk were not strong enough in themselves, and neither are we. In truth, we may carry the treasure that is the light of God's presence, but in Paul's words, in jars of clay. And if you want a picture, if you watch these programs on archaeology, you know when they're digging in and they find a broken bit of pottery? That's those jars of clay. It's the ordinary things of life, the things that got broken and dumped and no longer of use. What Paul pictures is something very ordinary and fragile, and yet that which contains the treasure that is the gospel. At the heart of the Christmas message is Jesus taking on our flesh, that he becomes a jar of clay. He is as fragile as we are. His humanity is no greater than our humanity. One of the things that it says in the study that we're using is that in God's grace, Jesus did not arrive as a powerful prophet fully made. He arrived as a baby, And in growing up amongst humanity, God gave us time. Jesus embodies us in his humanity as he reaches out to us. Of course, we're thinking about the very beginning of the gospel story. If we jump towards the end, Jesus says to his followers, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Find time this Advent for this God-given peace. In the study guide, it says, breathe in peace, breathe out stress. The stresses of life, the anger at others, or self, or the world, the bitterness of past wrongs, all these things threaten the fragile jars of clay that we are. Remember the peace of God that Jesus offers, the treasure we carry. As we find the peace of God, share that peace. From the peace of Christ, find peace with others. In so doing, we will be peacemakers and so named and blessed as children of God. So, find time this Christmas. Find time for peace this Christmas. Amen. Alistair is now going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that in the coming of Jesus as man, the day of our deliverance has dawned. And through him you will make all things new as he comes in power and triumph to judge the world. Father, we take time to pray for peace in our world. Yet we are only too well aware that peace in our fallen world is beyond our human grasp. Peace in our time. Words from the last century which did not prevent war. War and civil unrest in many countries today, not only Ukraine, but other places we never hear about. As the invasion of Ukraine continues, please turn the warmongers around. May they beat their destructive missiles and drones into building and medical equipment, and their tanks and artillery into food and finances, in reparation for the devastation and destruction. We take time to pray for peace in our own country as we move into a winter of discontent. We don't know, Lord, each person's circumstances. However, we pray for a resolution to those who are on strike or contemplating striking. Whether railways, schools, NHS, universities, Royal Mail. May all sides remember those affected by the disruption caused, and also those who are unable to demand a higher income. We give thanks for our National Health Service, which has served us well over many decades. We understand the funding pressures and pray that free access will be maintained for all. We pray for surgeons and support staff. Help them use their skills and technical abilities. For chemists and pharmacists, help them to use their medical knowledge of drugs and medicines. For nursing staff, help them to use their professional skills and their capacity for caring and encouraging. from physiotherapists to ambulance staff. Please use all these great resources of people as a means of healing those who are sick. We also pray for the political and constitutional situation in our country. May those on whatever side of the debate have the humility and grace to respect each other's opinion and move away from the mindset which says, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong and being intolerant. In the four nations of our United Kingdom, may patriotism not be confused with narrow nationalism. We also take time to pray for peace in the church. The church instituted by you, but filled with fallible people. We pray for churches which are at war with each other or with themselves. Congregations where there is no fellowship or love shared between them. Lord, we know that decisions are made with which we do not all agree. Yet, Lord, you know what's in our hearts. So remind us of whose we are and whom we serve. Father, we bring to you now in the silence of this moment those people in situations known to us in need of your love and care at this time. Lord, may your church here in Cairney Hill and throughout the world find time this Christmas to proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favour rests. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn. Hymn number 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining, the hymn that we know better as Shine, Jesus, Shine. with the peace of God and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.